Malcolm, for the good songs that you picked out are so precious. You know, you look through that song, you find a lot of wonderful truth that is so precious to the child of God. It's so sad that today many people miss those hymns. And from time to time I get emails that will say, I sure do miss the hymns we used to sing when I was growing up. I said, well, you come to our church and we'll sing those old hymns that you used to sing years ago. And that song, that last one there, I think it was written by John W. Peterson. And John W. Peterson wrote so many wonderful songs. In fact, my wife and I had the joy of meeting John W. Peterson years ago. And then we lived in Wichita, Kansas for a while, and his brother was pastor of a church there in Wichita, and he's originally from that area. But John is with the Lord now, and you know, it's amazing. He was a World War II veteran, and the Lord took care of him through all of the war and then brought him home, and boy, what a blessing he's been to the whole world with his songs. And he put out a hymn book, and it was just really a precious one that he put out years ago, Great Hymns of the Faith, it's called. Well, I know you came tonight looking forward to blessing, and I am too. So Brother Robbie, saving me from climbing up there and getting back down, why don't you go ahead and go behind the pulpit, and you bring the message, and we'll listen to you very prayerfully and very openly. Thank you, Brother Robbie, for coming and preaching.
Yes, sir. Well, it's good to be back. I think it's been about a year and a half, something like that. Since Billy's wedding was the last time I was in. So y'all are still married and happy and all that good stuff. Yeah. Just wanted to make sure of that. Well, yeah, I'm kind of concerned. We went to lunch with them and then she didn't come. Maybe she had enough of me. I don't know. You can only stand so much of me and then you're done. But no, it's good to be back. We've had a great time there in Puerto Rico. Definitely a different type of ministry than what we would be considered used to. We've been doing a lot of the work there, getting the property back up and going and helping the Harmons with the ministry and outreach and going out on Saturdays and trying to reach people for Christ and get the church going and growing. And we've had a great time. I'm sure you've seen the prayer letters because I know everybody walks past that board back there and looks at all the pictures we put in there and everything. And you saw the building that we remodeled. We were able to move into that and live there on the church property, which has been a huge blessing because the cost of renting there is pretty high. Well, it's probably comparable to renting in Chattanooga. And so that's been a big blessing for us to be able to do that. And it gets us there on the property so that we can work a little easier and get out there and get things moving and going. And so we've seen a lot of blessings there. The church has grown just a little bit, but, you know, a little bit's better than nothing. And so we're excited about that. We have a young couple started coming, I don't know, like 2-3 months ago, I think, with the young boy, their son, and they've been coming almost every Sunday. And so that's exciting to see that. And then he showed up on Wednesday night. And he's been coming ever since. He speaks mostly Spanish, and our services are in English. But we have one of the other men in the church there translates for him when he doesn't understand things. It's kind of fun. I'll be teaching Sunday school, and they'll sit on the back row, and I'll talk about something. And then I'll see the young man, Richard, he'll lean over to Brother Hector and start asking him something. And then Brother Hector's talking to him in Spanish. And then after church, I'll ask Brother Hector, what did I say he didn't understand? And so he'd have to explain it to him in Spanish. But it's a lot of fun. We've enjoyed it. It's been a growing experience for us, for us personally, as we learned some different life lessons. As Brother Lily said, you can always learn something from somebody. And so we've been learning down there and trying to grow. We've been working on our Spanish. I know Brother Malcolm and I talked about this morning. It's a different kind of Spanish down there than what you're used to. And anybody who speaks Spanish from Mexico or South America, they have trouble with the Puerto Rican Spanish. And in fact, Amanda's cousin's from Honduras, and he comes down and helps out with the ministry where they take a boat out and help out in the different areas, islands down there. And he won't speak Spanish there because he goes, I can't understand their Spanish. So he just speaks English. It's easier to deal with that than it is to try to figure out the two Spanish languages. So we've been struggling with that working on it, but that's been a tough road to hoe, I'll tell you that. But other than that, everything's been going well, and we're excited to be home. If you haven't traveled outside the U.S. and stayed for a long period of time, there's just something different about stepping off the plane in Chattanooga. Amen. There's just something about it that just warms your heart. And so we're glad to be back, and I'm so thankful, Billy, we didn't have jet lag and have to sit in airplanes for 12 hours from those Fiji flights. Those were rough. It's just a short flight down there and up here. So we're excited about it and being back. Now, Brother Lilly did not give me a time frame, and I'm assuming y'all did not install that trap door yet. But I am worried because Brother Byron gave me a buzzer here, so we'll see. He'll just cut me off if I get going too long. The sermon I want to preach tonight, I put it together a while back. One of the churches in Ponce asked me to come preach for them, and it's a Spanish church. And I told, is a missionary that was is the pastor there, and I told him, I said, I don't speak Spanish. And he goes, that's okay, I'll interpret for you or interrupt you, whichever way you want to look at that. This sermon was a two-night sermon because it was a conference. So I think because we're not going to have the interruption or the interpretation in Spanish, I can put it all together in one night. If not, we'll just stop when we get to a good stopping point, and that'll be the end of that. But if you will, open your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter number 6. We're going to start there. Keep your Bible ready, your thumbs warmed up. We'll be looking at a few different passages. I'll try not to go too fast, and we'll stay a little focused on it. But Matthew chapter number 6, I did not give Byron any notes today or anything on this, so I'm sorry we don't have anything up on the screen for you. But Matthew chapter number 6 in verse number 19 down through verse 21, probably a familiar passage to you, one you've read before, heard messages preached on, studied it. But I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I want to speak tonight on the thought of where is your heart? Where is your heart? Now, you know where it is physically located. Most of us do. We know where it's generally located at. But where's your heart in respect to God's heart? You know, what are we lined up with what God's lined up? Are we focused on what God is focused on? It's always something I try to strive for and stay close to. And I always ask God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? And there are specific things. I believe God has a specific job for each and every one of us in here tonight. I think He has something that we all are supposed to be doing, and He has a place for us. But there's also not just that specific thing. There's some general things that's for everybody. It doesn't matter. Whether you're in this location, you're in Puerto Rico, you're in Fiji, you're in Papua New Guinea, it doesn't matter where you're at. God has a general job for every Christian. He has something He wants us all to do. And we're going to look at that tonight. So where's your heart? Where's it at? Are we lined up with what God has? So Matthew chapter number 6, look at verse number 19 through 21. Jesus is speaking here, and He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So let's look at this tonight and see what we can learn from it and grow from it. Let's open in a word of prayer before we get into it. Dear Lord, thank You for today. Thank You for the opportunity to once again be back in Your house. Thank You for the opportunity to be back with our friends here at Edgewood and our family. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your word that You gave to us that we can learn from and grow from as a Christian and know what Your heart is and what You have for us to do. I ask, Lord, that You would be with the sermon tonight, be with my heart, that it would be in tune with You and listening to the Holy Spirit, and that we would learn from it. And we ask these things in Your name. Amen. So as we look through this, it's pretty simple thought here of laying not up for yourselves treasures on earth. Now, I think most of us in here are there. We're not too focused on the earthly materialistic things. We see that in the world today. It's very predominant, especially there in Puerto Rico. I was asking one of the pastors there that I met, and I asked him, I said, what's the hardest thing that you face when you're trying to reach other Puerto Ricans for Christ? Because I'm trying to learn, what am I up against? How do I effectively witness to them and talk? What am I going to be facing when I'm talking with them? Because I already have a language barrier. I need to get rid of as much problems as I can so I can deal with it. And he said materialism. It's the hardest thing that he faces with them. They have so much that they don't need God anymore. It's one of the toughest things that he says they face there when he's trying to witness to the people there. And I was thinking about that in reading this. You know, we do lay up for ourselves some treasures. You have some things that are special to you. If you talk to me or know me for very long, I have a truck that I've had since I was 16. And many of you, I still have it. And it's special to me, and I have it stored and hidden so nobody can get it. You know, that's my thing. If anything else goes away, I don't really care, as long as that's like my only treasure here on this earth, okay? I try not to get obsessed with it. Don't look at Miss Amanda, okay? I try not to get obsessed with it, but it's something that I've cherished my whole life. And people have made fun of me for having it over the years, and oh, you need to get rid of it and all that. But that's a treasure I have. But you know, that verse there in verse 19, you know, rust corrupts it. We don't deal with it a whole lot here, but down in Puerto Rico, we live about 500, 600 yards from the ocean, and rust corrupts a lot of things. You don't have to leave metal out for very long before it starts to rust and fall apart and deteriorate and deal with those different problems that are there with the climate. And so if we're not careful, we'll start focusing and getting our heart focused on things here on this earth. And we get obsessed with them. We get tied down to them, and we forget about what's truly important. We forget about what we need to be focused on. As Jesus says there in verse 20, he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Putting up those treasures in heaven. And you read this and you kind of ask yourself, you know what a treasure on earth is? That's pretty simple. We just kind of explained it. And you have your thing, whatever it is. And I don't think there's anything too wrong with that. It's just don't get too obsessed with it. But when we think about what are we laying up treasures in heaven, what is that? I can't. You know, we know there's not a go down to the post office here and send, you know, heaven P.O. box this such and street. You know, I don't have a P.O. box in heaven to send things to. So what is Jesus referring to here? What is he talking about? What is he wanting us to learn from this and be able to do? And the thing about that is up in heaven, it doesn't corrupt. It doesn't rust. It doesn't. Moths don't get to it. People don't come in and steal it. They can't take it away from you if it's in heaven. We'll look at what that is here in a minute. But what I want to focus on here is the thought of our heart. When I said, where's your heart at? I looked up that thought. You know, we use the heart as the seat of emotions and different things. You know, when it comes to relationships, we use the terms, they broke my heart, or, you know, I fell for them, whatever. That is, we use it in songs. Our songs talk about it. There's within my heart a melody and things like that. There's some other ones, you know, Achy Breaky Heart and all those other songs that we don't know those, but, you know, they talk about it. You know, the heart is the emotion, the what we refer to as the seat of the emotion. I had to look it up. I was like, why do we use the heart? Where did that come from? And I looked it up, and the definition I was given, or the explanation for that, was that emotions are centered actually in the brain. A strong rush of emotions such as fear or anger or love will cause adrenaline to go to the heart and cause that heart to start going. That's why when Amanda walks in a room, my heart kind of skips a beat. That's why. I'm getting brownie points tonight. And years ago, because they didn't understand how that worked, this led to the heart being considered to be responsible for the emotions. That's where we get that idea from. So where's our heart focused on? And you know, when we focus our heart, when we get our heart focused on certain things, we'll go towards it. If you have a career or something that you're focused on and you put your heart in, you will put everything into it. You will do what you want to do. You'll do whatever it is to accomplish that goal, to get there, because your heart's set on it. That's what you want to do. That's what you're trying to accomplish, no matter what it is. It could be learning a new skill. It could be trying to accomplish a goal. Whatever that thing is that you're trying to get to and your heart's set on, you will work hard to get to it. And your heart will be focused on it, and you will go for it no matter what it takes. And so when we think about that, what are the things that our heart should be going after? Look over at Matthew chapter number 15. We're just a few pages over Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse number 18 here. And Jesus is speaking here talking to Peter. And he says there in verse 18, he says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth cometh forth from out of the heart, and they defile a man." And I try to be very careful when I use just single verses, but when you look at that verse, we can look at that and see that from our heart, what's in our heart comes out in our lives. And that's what I want to take from that. That's what Jesus is saying. From the heart out of the mouth come forth from the heart. The things that we say, they're deep down in our heart. The things that we do, they're in our heart. It doesn't take very long to be around somebody to figure out what their hobbies are, to figure out what their passion is, what their heart is set on. It doesn't take very long. You talk to somebody long enough, you're around them long enough, you see where their heart is. It just does not take very long at all to see that. And Jesus mentions that here. So what comes out in our lives, what we see in our lives, is what's down deep inside. It's the actions, the things that come out that we notice. Those are the things that come out in our life, and those are the things that we have to be careful about. It doesn't take very long for us to show. We can hide it. We can try to hide it. You can try to hide and say, and when I'm around certain people, I'm going to act this way or that way, but it doesn't take long before you slip up. Because that's who you really are, it'll come out. It'll show up. And as we get into that, we think about, where is our heart focused at? Am I focused on the things of God? Am I focused on laying up those treasures in heaven? Or am I too focused on the things that are going on in the earth today, in the world today? And even as Pastor Lily mentioned this morning about all the stuff going on in the Middle East, and we know it's in the Bible. You just take some time and read it. It doesn't bother me so much because I know it has to happen. It's part of what's going on. I didn't expect it in my lifetime, but hey, it's here and there's nothing I can do about it. And I'm just going to keep going on. But we can get discouraged by that in our heart. We can, get a little downhearted about it. But actually, we should be a little excited about it. Just a little bit, because that means we're getting closer. We're getting closer. The only thing that I don't like about it is I know people that need Christ. That's the only thing that I don't like about it. There's guys that I witness to in Puerto Rico. I go to the gym every morning, and I started going just to for myself, and then I met these guys, and now I go because it's opportunities to witness to them. In fact, one morning I went in and I was fixing to leave, and one of the guys said, "Robbie, come here, you got to get on this conversation." I get a little nervous when they do that. I'm like, I don't know if I want to get in on that. What is it about? I always ask them, what's it about? And it was about salvation. And I spent an hour and a half to 2 hours standing there in the gym talking to two guys about salvation. They didn't accept Christ, but I got a chance to talk to them. I don't want the rapture to take place. I don't want Jesus to come back because they're not saved yet. I want to see them get saved first. But when we think about where our treasure is, and you don't have to turn here because you're familiar with this passage. In fact, Brother Lee mentioned it this morning. But over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 through 15, Paul writes there about laying up a foundation. Let me turn over there because I do not want to mess those verses up. I'm really bad about not being able to get them right. And that's always something I don't like to do. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, down verse number 11, he says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And now he says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And as we look at this point, we think about our heart. Where's our heart at? Well, we do things here on this earth. As a Christian today, you did things today. And the question is, were they wood, hay, and stubble, or was it gold, precious stones? What was it today that we built on? And as we think about, you know, the structure, and we don't need to go into this too deep because you understand it. The foundation there is Jesus Christ being saved. And then as we go into it, the structure, the things that we build on, the actions. What did we do? Did it build wood, hay, and stubble today, or did we build gold and precious stones and so on? What did we do today? Was it something laying up treasures in heaven, or was it focused on the things of the earth? What did we do today? Where was our heart at today? You know, I hope it's Sunday. I mean, you try extra hard to follow God more today than you do during the normal week. It's kind of something we do, but we should do it every day. But for some reason on Sunday, we put a little extra effort into it. But did we build on it, on that structure, on that foundation of salvation? Not for salvation, not by works. We're not trying to do these things to be saved to get to heaven. We're doing these things because that's where our heart is, because God's heart is there. When we go out and we try and we witness to somebody, we're out at the restaurant, we're out getting gas, we're out at the doctor's office, wherever we're at, and we have an opportunity to witness somebody, do we do it for our own personal gain? I don't. I'm scared to talk to people. Y'all don't know that, but I get nervous coming up here. I do every time. I just don't like it. I get nervous talking to people when I'm out and about. I have to force myself to do it. It's not something I'm a slightly introverted. I don't like to interact with strangers. It's just the way I am. But I have to force myself to do it. So I don't do that for me. It's not for me. But when I see them, I try to remember what Paul says. I see them as being lost or saved. Which one are they? And I want to find out. Because I want them to be able to go to heaven. And I know that's what Jesus wants. That's why he came and died on the cross for everyone and for everyone. And it's our job, it's our duty, Paul talks about that it's our job and our duty to go and share the gospel with them. And that's where our heart should be.
Yes.
I try everything I do, and I fail at it miserably if I look at it too closely, but I fail at it. I try everything I do is to try to reach somebody for Christ. Will this help me be able to reach somebody for Christ in some manner, in some shape? That's what my goals are. That's what I want to do. Now, I don't always accomplish it. I fail. I don't always meet that goal every day, but I try. I try to reach for it because I want to do what God wants me to do. I want my heart. I try to get my heart where it's supposed to be. Sometimes it gets off sidetracked and sometimes it messes up, but I try to keep it in check and say, you know what? What does God want me to do? What does he have for me to do? Where should my heart be? Where's God's heart? You want to know, you got to read this.
Yes.
You're not going to find it on TV, I'll tell you that much right now. Right? Disney's not going to teach you that, that's for sure. I don't even go there. I'll leave that alone. It's in here. You want to know what God wants, you got to read the Bible.
Yes.
You got to study it. The Faith Bible Institute, I loved it when we went through it. I'm still doing Bible college courses. I've got a doozy this time. It's Revelation and the last epistles in the Bible. That's going to be a doozy of a study. But I love it. I love going through it because I learn something every time. I go through there and I'm always trying to pick something up and study it. And I taught the book of Romans for our Sunday school class there in Puerto Rico. And then this morning you were teaching on, and I was like, oh, I missed that. How did I miss that? I had to take a note on that, put in my notes later for next time. That means my lessons keep growing every time I go through a book. But I try to stay focused. And once again, when we read this, it's not for our own personal gain. Necessarily. It's because we want to bring honor and glory to God. We want to see people get saved. And God says, look, if you do these things, there will be rewards for them.
Yes.
That's a little incentive. I like being rewarded for a job well done. I think we all do.
Right.
And God says here, if you will do these things, if you will reach people for Christ, if you will build and do what I need you to do, there will be rewards for you. If you don't, it's going to be loss of reward. It'll be nothing. One of the men there at the church, he's an older gentleman in his 70s. He used to work for American Airlines and retired and everything. He's Puerto Rican. I love him. He's a lot of fun. But Brother Hector, he'll say, you know, I'll get to heaven, but I might smell like smoke when I get there. All my stuff's going to be burned up. Everything I did is going to be useless, but I'll be there. And he'll refer to this passage. And I think about it. I'm like, that's a pretty good one, Brother Hector. That's pretty good. But hopefully we'll have a few rewards waiting for us, you know. And that's what he's talking about. When we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, not here on this earth. Because we know when the rapture goes, none of this is going with us. All right? It's over. All the stuff that we've worked for, all the things that we have, somebody else is going to have them. They're going to be gone. They're completely over with. I work very hard at keeping my mind focused on that. That this is, it's temporary. It's all temporary. It's short term. Keep focused on what God has. Keep our heart focused on what He has, what He wants us to do. And so we have that. We have that day of inspection that's coming and that he talked about there in verse 13 through verse 15, where it's going to be burned up and it's going to be checked. What did we do? Was it for God or was it for us? And God's going to judge that. You know, I try to judge it because I need to. I need to say, okay, did I do that correctly? Is that according to the Bible? Am I doing what God wants me to do as best I can? But God's going to be the ultimate judge of it. It'll be burned up. It'll be tested. And I look forward to that time of knowing what God sees in my life. I do. I want to know what I did. Did I do good? Did I make it? I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I really do. I strive for that. I know I mess up a lot, but I try. I really do. So where's our heart at? Is it focused on those things? And then lastly, see, I think we're going to do all right. Because I made it. I'm making it not too bad. Turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. You could really turn this into about a three-day sermon, I think. Or longer if you wanted to. But turn over to 2 Peter in chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. And we're going to look at verse number 9. Down through verse number 12. Peter writes here, he says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." He asks a question there at the end. What kind of person ought we to be? I know it says man, but we can refer to that as the ladies as well. What kind of person ought we to be knowing these things? The Lord's not slack concerning His promise. We know that one day He's going to come back. One day there's going to be, the earth's going to melt. It's going to be done away with. And like I mentioned just a minute ago, all the things that we have here, this building will be gone. You know, we look at it as the church and we think highly of it, but it's going to be gone. Everything you have, your car you're driving, your house, it's going to be gone. It'll all be over. It's going to pass away, and God's not slack concerning His promises. We look at His promises on the good things in our life, and we're happy about them. But there's also the promises of this world ending, and we think about that. And those things being burned up, it's going to come as a thief in the night. We're not going to see it coming. He'll come back when we least expect it, I believe. And it's going to come quick. It'll come fast. There won't be time for those who sat in church and listened to sermons about salvation this morning, or wherever they may have been, or the time that we witnessed to somebody, those guys I witnessed to in the gym. There's not going to be time for them to say, "Robbie was right," and turn to Christ. There won't be time. It bothers me. So the question that Peter rises there in verse number 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved," it's all going away, "what manner of life
what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What kind of life are you going to live? Where's your heart going to be? Is it going to be focused on God? Or is it going to be focused on the things that are going to dissolve and disappear and be gone and won't be here anymore? We won't take them to heaven. They won't matter at that moment in time.
Right.
Or are we going to be focused on those souls out there that our neighbors, our friends, our family? Are we more focused on reaching them for Christ? And I understand the difficulties behind it. I really do. I'm out there talking with them. I know how people are. They don't, they come up with all the excuses. Oh, this happened at church when I was this age and I don't want to ever go back to church. Or somebody said something to me or all these things. Or I don't believe all that hocus pocus. I understand. I've been there. I've talked to people.
Yes.
I know what it's like. I understand the struggle. But are we consistently trying to reach them for Christ? And you know, if they won't listen, we'll go find somebody else. Are we looking for other people to reach for Christ? In fact, I had a friend of mine when I used to work down at Advance Auto Parts when I was here. And I worked with him there. And we became friends. I didn't like him at first, I'll be honest with you. I did not like him. And my boss said, hey, he's going to work with you. And I'm like, no, he's not. And we had to go to lunch over that conversation. I did not like the guy. And he started working with me, and we became good friends. Yeah, we actually started liking him. It was kind of funny. But witnessed to him whenever I could at the parts stores. I know there's two accounts that we sat down and talked about salvation, and he would not accept Christ. And a couple weeks ago, he called me down in Puerto Rico, and he said, hey, I need to talk to you about something. I was like, okay. So I'm not going to go into the details of it because of the time. But he said he was telling me about this dream he had. And he was talking about how he knew his heart was dirty and he couldn't clean it, but he knew he needed to clean it. And so I talked to him about salvation again. And he still won't accept Christ. And it burned me that night. I had trouble sleeping. I spent most of the night praying for him. Because it's been 10 plus years I've known him. I've witnessed to him. And I've tried and tried and tried. And it hurts me. That he will not accept Christ. I'm like, come on. I know how you feel. You just want to grab him. You know? It's like, it's so easy. Accept Christ. Because I know this is what's coming. I know what's in store for him. I don't want that. But when I look at this and I think about it, is your heart focused on reaching those people for Christ? Or is it focused more on the things of this world? And you know, we just pass them by. We do that. We all do it. Every one of us do it. We pass people by and don't even think about it sometimes. But is our heart focused on it? Is that something that we strive for? Is it a goal that we go for? You know, we set up to do it. Or we set up to do it. Just like, I know Brother Lily preaches it all the time. I hear him. I'm in Puerto Rico. I watch the videos when I can. He does it. He tells you to get a track and take with you a handful of them. Do we do it? Or we get up in the morning and we go and we prepare to go do this, that, or the other thing, go to the doctor's office, go grocery shopping. You go grocery shopping, you make sure, oh yeah, I got my wallet or my purse or whatever it is. Do you make sure you got tracks too? To hand to the cashier, the young person that's there, you know, checking out at the register. You know, it was bad today. We went out to eat and I was checking out and I was talking to the young man at the register and I went, oh man, I kicked myself. I kicked myself. Shame on me for not having a track on me. Usually Amanda has them in her purse, and I don't know if she had one or not. Did you? No, I should have asked her. I got in trouble. See, I did wrong. I should have asked my wife. She had it. But are we that minded that we when we see the opportunity and we miss it, that we get upset at ourselves? Or do we just ignore it and go on with life? Where's our heart at? Are we focused on things of God, or are we focused on things of this earth? And that's the question that I came up with when I was reading through this and thinking about it. You know, all the things that we talked about, all the things we do down here, if it's for us, it's gone, it's over with. But when we focus on reaching others for Christ, we focus on trying to be the right type of Christian that God wants us to be so that we can be an example of Christ to them. Because there is some validity to the lifestyle evangelism. Because people are going to look at your life, just like my friend. I haven't talked to him in probably a year and a half at least. And the person and I'm not being egotistical here, don't get me wrong. But the person he called when it came to a spiritual matter, he called me. because I tried to live my life like I should. And he said, you know what? This is a spiritual thing. I know who I need to call to talk to about this. And I was happy that I was able to talk to him. But when we think about it, where's our life? What are we focused on? What are we wanting to do? I saw a quote, and I'm going to end with this. And I really liked it, and I wrote it down in my Bible. It said, your few minutes of feeling uncomfortable talking with somebody about Christ, your few minutes of feeling uncomfortable could mean someone's eternal salvation from hell. It doesn't seem so scary when you value others' eternity above your own fear. I'm going to read that one more time. Your few minutes of feeling uncomfortable could mean someone's eternal salvation from hell. It doesn't seem so scary when you value others' eternity above your own fear. Is someone's eternal destiny more important than that little bit of discomfort or that little bit of fear of talking to them about Christ? Where's your heart at? Is it focused on the things of God, or is it focused on just the things going on in this world? And focused on the things that we have and trying to move forward in life and all those things. Try to get it focused on God. Focus on others. Reach out. Try to reach somebody for Christ. Try to make it a goal this week and say, you know what? I'm going to witness to one person, even just one. Because if you start doing one every week, next week you'll do two. And then maybe three, maybe four. And the next thing you know, you're witnessing all the time. You know, one of the greatest examples I've had is Brother Lilly. You've been a great example to me about being a witness for Christ in my daily life. And then down there in Puerto Rico, I go out with Brother Hector because of his Spanish and understanding of the Puerto Rican culture and things, and we'll go out and do things together. You can't go anywhere with that man without him talking. It's like going with you. Everywhere you go, you talk to somebody. And Brother Hector, we sat down in a water company one day to deal with a water bill. And you know how it is. You got to sit and wait sometimes. And we're sitting there, and he starts talking to this lady in there, and they're speaking in Puerto Rican Spanish, and I have no idea what they're talking about. I pick up a word here or there, and then they change the subject, and I don't know what they're talking about again. And he gets done talking, and I said, "Hey, what'd you talk about?" He said, "Salvation in church." I said, "I thought so." You know, that's Brother Hector. Everywhere I go with him, that's what he does. And I enjoy it. It's such a testimony and an encouragement to me that he's there, and it helps me. It helps me to stay focused. Gets my heart in the right place. Why do we do the things we do? Is it for our own personal gains, our own worthy treasure, or is it for Christ? Is it for seeing souls in heaven? Because one day, I believe we'll get to see them, and I think we're going to know who we had a part in reaching for Christ. I really do. I think we will. So I hope your heart is in the right place tonight. If it's not, it might be a good time to check up on that. You know, we go to the doctor for physical ailments. Sometimes it's a good time to do a spiritual checkup and make sure where our heart is in the right place. We'll close in a word of prayer and turn amen. It back over to you.
Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for today.
Said amen.
Right? Amen.
Sure did. Thank you, Brother.
Yes, sir.
Now, his sermon
was to Christians. And everyone here, I trust, is a born-again believer. And you know that if you died today, or should Christ come,